appreciate it, Ms. Jane's children's message, because a lot of times, I mean, she's right. No one knows everybody perfectly. Even the people we know the best, our spouses, our siblings, we still don't know everything about them. We don't know them perfectly, but God knows us. He knows exactly who we are. He knows exactly who you are. You can't hide anything from him, and he loves you not despite that. He loves you because he made you. He just loves you, and he knows everything about you. I would, though, agree with one of the kids that chocolate is a food group. I'm glad we got that straightened out. It's definitely a food group. If you have your Bible, find with me this morning the New Testament book of 1 John over in toward the end of your Bible, written by John, the disciple of Jesus, the well-known friend of Jesus and disciple of Jesus. God has preserved for us five of John's writings in your Bible, the Gospel of John, then 1 John, where we are today, 2 and 3 John, two other letters, and then the book of Revelation. But find 1 John this morning and just hold your place there for a moment. I did something that is, for me, radical this week. Truly radical. And not the kind of radical that, for me anyway, is unnerving but also kind of liberating. I did something that I have not done in, I guess, 30 years or so. I canceled my newspaper subscription. I love newspapers. And we still have the Brunswick Beacon coming in, so once a week I can settle down, see that newspaper. But the Star News and I have parted company after over 13 years. And I didn't write them a little note, and I certainly didn't say, it's not you, it's me. In fact, I said, it's you. It's not me, it's you. Newspapers, I love newspapers, and love to read them, love to handle them. When I travel, I shed newspapers everywhere I go. There's just news. You can tell I've been there because there's newspapers around, and I love newspapers. But we all know, that newspapers are human opinion. And sometimes we read them, and you read a newspaper right beside it about the same article, about the same event, and they're completely two different perspectives, and they're completely different opinions, and you wonder, well, who's right? What's true? Which perspective is accurate? And then we remember that for human beings, it's all our perspective. How do we know the truth? How do we know what's right? We know what's true, and we know what's right by the Word of God. The Bible is God's absolute, unwavering truth to us. And it's not our opinion. We don't open up the Bible and say, I wonder how I feel about what it says. What's my opinion about what the Bible says? No, no, no. We open up the Bible and say, God, what do you want to say to me? What do I need to change? What do you want to reveal to me? It's God's absolute truth. In a world of uncertainty, isn't it good to know we have certain truth, absolute truth, in the Word of God? And one of the things that we often find ourselves doubting is the key pivotal fact of our lives, whether or not we are actually saved, whether or not we're actually a Christian. And I'm talking to people in this room, far and away most of whom at one point or another in your lives made a decision, what we call a profession of faith. You trusted Christ as your Savior. And yet I could easily say the same number of people at one time or another have wondered about that. Was it accurate? What was it? Was it true? Was it real? Because you made a mistake, you messed up, you find you're distant from God. Whatever it is, you start to doubt that event in your life. You start to doubt that moment. You start to wonder if it's true. And if you do that, then you also wonder, how can I know for certain? And can I know for certain that I am saved, that I'm a Christian? And it doesn't help that many times when you ask other Christians that question, the answer you get is something like, well, you'll never know until the end. You can only hope. But you'll never really know. That's not what the Bible says. We're entering into a series this morning that I'm calling Birthmarks, Can you know that you're saved? It asks, we're going to ask and answer the question starting this morning for a few weeks. Can you know that you're saved? And I'm going to give away the answer this morning. Yes, because that's the Bible's answer. You don't have to wonder about it. It's not based on your feelings. It's when you doubt, it doesn't mean suddenly you're not saved if you professed faith. But it's an important question to ask and answer because we need assurance of our salvation. We need that assurance. In such an uncertain world, we need to know that we have nailed down this truth. Yes, I'm a Christian. Before we go any further in this series, or even really get started, I want to define what we mean by a Christian. And we're using the biblical definition of Christian. Whether I use the term saved or Christian or any of those terms you find in the Bible or that we talk about in church that relate to our salvation, we're using a biblical definition. And this is the definition for all those terms in this series. A biblical saved Christian has been born again in Jesus Christ. It is a person who has repented of their sin and come to faith and trust in Jesus Christ, knowing that they are a sinner, knowing they can't save themselves, knowing, as the Bible says, they have no hope in this life apart from Christ. They have repented of their sin, and as Jesus himself said, they have been born again. They have been born again in Christ. A brand new person, starting over in that same earthly body, but a brand new creature, the Bible says, in Jesus Christ. Now, why is this important? Because we think of Christian culturally. We think of Christian as someone who goes to church or as someone who votes a certain way. Well, they're a Christian because they vote that way. They're a Christian because they go to a church or they're a member of a church. They're a Christian because they grew up in a Christian family. And some of that might be true of other religions and other faiths and their definition, but it is not true of Christianity. A Christian, of whatever their nationality, whatever their ethnicity, whatever their race, whatever their economic level, whatever their education level, every person who is truly a biblical Christian has been born again in Jesus Christ. That's what the word means. This series is important for all of us for two reasons. First, as I've already mentioned, for believers in Christ. You know you professed faith in Christ at some point in your life, and yet you also occasionally doubt. Maybe you messed up. Maybe you made a mistake. Maybe you realize that you're farther from God than you thought you were or that you were 10 years ago. Maybe your faith doesn't feel fresh. Maybe reading the Bible doesn't mean a lot to you these days, and you wonder, was that legitimate? Was I really saved? Well, the good news is, as we'll see, the Bible answers that question. You can know for certain. So if you know for certain that you're saved, all the things I described can be attributed to other problems in your life, other spiritual issues in your life. So on the one hand, it's encouraging to have that assurance of salvation, and that's what this series is about. But secondly, on the other hand, it's very important that we all understand what it means to be saved and to be a Christian and to be born again, that we have that knowledge, because if we suddenly realize we are not saved, we've got to do something about it. See, the sad truth is many churchgoers are just that, churchgoers, but they're not born again believers in Christ. And we become numb to the notion of what it means to be a Christian because we're so used to going to church, to doing good things, to trying to be good. But that's not what saves us. That's not what makes us a Christian. So the second very significant thing we're doing in this series is opening our hearts to the Lord, and through this series to verify, to find out. And if you find out that, oh my, all this time I thought I was a Christian, I'm not. I've never been born again in Christ. This series is about doing something about that. Putting your faith and trust in Christ so you can know, as we'll read this morning, you can know that you have eternal life. We go to 1 John and chapter 5 today. So flip over to chapter 5. We're going to start at the end of the book of 1 John. And what we're going to read, what we're going to find out, is that John the Apostle, the disciple of Jesus, wrote this letter to new believers about 50 years, by the way, after Christ had risen from the grave. John wrote this letter to assure believers in their salvation. He wrote this letter to say there are indicators, there are ways you can know whether you've actually been born again in Christ that show up in your life. This was important because now, 50 years down the road from the resurrection, the church is growing, it's spreading throughout the Roman Empire. More and more people are coming to Christ out of different backgrounds, out of various religions of various kinds. And they're starting to wonder, how can we all know that we're saved? How can we all know that we're Christians? And not to help matters, there are groups that have risen up in the Christian church that claim that only they know whether a person is a Christian. One of those groups were called Gnostics, which comes from a word that means know, to know something. And they said, we are the only ones that really know. We have true knowledge. We're like spiritual superheroes, you know, the spiritual elite. And we're the only ones that know if somebody's saved. So John wrote this letter to dispel those myths and to say every person born again in Christ can be assured of your salvation. You can know. Because God is doing a work in your life and it will show up. It will show up in your life. On the other hand, if you're a churchgoer, maybe you've been baptized, maybe you're serving on a committee, maybe you're a good person, maybe you serve at the food bank, and you realize those indicators are not in your life, there's a real good chance you're religious, but you're not saved. So this morning we go to 1 John and chapter 5 as we begin this series. We begin at the ending because here John helps us understand why it is that we can know that we have eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 1 to start with. John said, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father also loves the one born of him. Now look at verse 11, chapter 5 and verse 11. John says, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. The one who has the Son has life. The one who does not have the Son of God does not have life. It's just that clear cut. I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that, this is the purpose of my letter, John says, so that you may know. Everything John has written to this point has been for this purpose, so that you may know that you have eternal life. The word translated know is an important word. In the Bible, in the Greek New Testament, there were two words typically that we would translate into English as know or knowledge, or to know something. The first one is the one I mentioned a moment ago, gnosis, which the Gnostics get their name from. That word means to know by experience. And as seekers, the Gnostics said, our experience is greater than you. We know more than you. And we're more spiritual than you, and we've grown beyond you, is what they would say to other Christians. So it's knowledge by experience. It's a progression of knowledge. That's not the word that John uses here. And it's so critical to understand this. John uses the word know, or says something about what we can know, more than two dozen times in this short letter. And they all bank on this one statement in verse 13, so that you may know that you have eternal life. The word he uses here is exactly the opposite from the other word. It does not mean by experience or by progression or it's an ongoing thing. It means it's a settled, absolute fact. It means that it's completed knowledge. There is no question about it. It's a fact. So one means it's a fact, it's completed. The other means you gain knowledge by experience as you grow and as you progress. Let me give you an example of what we're talking about. I am an American because I was born an American. It's a settled fact. It's non-negotiable. Even if I moved to another country, it wouldn't change. I'm still an American because I was born an American. It's a settled fact. It's absolute. I don't need to wonder about it. I don't need to doubt it. I don't need to question it. It's a settled fact. However, the question then is, what does it mean to be an American? What it means to be an American is something I learn. That's knowledge that I gain as I live my life as an American. I experience being an American. I interpret being an American. I apply being an American to my life. I am an American, absolute, non-negotiable, unchanging. It's settled and it's complete. But what it means to be an American is what I learn as I go. They're both knowledge and they're both important and they both apply to the same thing, but they're critically different. The Bible says, if you're a Christian, when you were born again in Christ, you can know that without a doubt. It is a settled fact. Maybe you were born an American, you were born again spiritually in Jesus Christ. That was your second birth. And that's an absolute settled fact. It happens one time, you don't need to do it again. If it was legitimate and sincere, it's a fact of history that you were born again in Christ. And you can know this fact absolutely. You also grow as a disciple. You know the word disciple means learner. It means pupil. It means student. So you are experiencing and learning and adding to your knowledge as a believer as you follow Christ all of your life. But it starts with being born again in Christ. And John says, you can know that you have eternal life. And he says, I am writing to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. You have trusted him as your Savior. So you can verify this knowledge. And that's what he's going to do in this letter. He says, I'm going to verify this knowledge for you. I'm going to give you some indicators, and we're going to look at that in the weeks ahead. But the first thing to understand is whether or not you are a Christian, whether or not you're born again, is not dependent on how you feel today or what your past was like or whether you go to church, how often, or with whom, or to what church. It's not dependent on how good you are. It's not dependent on what committee you serve on. All those things may be good things, but being born again in Christ is dependent on the Son of God, your Savior, and your decision to trust him as your Savior. As we move forward in this series, we want to start today with why it is we can know that. Why could we be so sure? Why is it that John says you can know this as a settled fact that you've been born again in Christ? I want to look at three reasons he gives this morning on why it is you can know, and he can even talk about it, that you've been born again in Christ. You can be settled on your salvation. For example, first, John says, you can know because God gives eternal life to you. God gives eternal life to you. That's the word to underline, to put in bold, to highlight. God gives eternal life to you. See, the Bible teaches over and over that our salvation, our eternal life, is not dependent on us. It's just not. You and I are sinners. It's impossible for us to please God so much that God says, you know what? You are so good, you're saved. You're just that good a person. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches just the opposite. The Bible says there is no one good, not even one. Everyone has fallen short of God's standard, every human being ever born, since the days of Adam, since Adam sinned, have fallen short, except one, his Son, Jesus Christ. So God set up the perfect solution, his Son, Jesus. And he would send his Son into the world as a sacrifice for our sins. He lived a sinless life, the only person on planet Earth to ever do that. Then he went to the cross, he died, he shed his blood for your sin. God raised him from the grave so you could have eternal life. It's an absolute established fact. And the Bible says God gives you that eternal life when you trust Christ. You don't earn it. You're not good enough for it. I don't earn it. I never earned it. But when I trusted Christ, he gave it to me. And did you notice how many times John said, this is for everyone, everyone who believes in him. It says it twice in verse 1, everyone who believes in him. So no one can sit back and say, well, I'm not good enough yet. When I'm better, then I'll come to Christ. When I'm a good person, then I'll come to Christ. Or I've done such terrible things, God excludes me from church and from salvation. No, it doesn't work that way. This is for everyone. The offer is for everyone. It's available for everyone, and God gives it to us as a free gift. Eternal life, a free gift. God is out there trying to give away eternal life. And when you came to faith in Christ, you accepted that free gift that God gives to you. So first of all, you can know these things because it's not dependent on you. It's dependent on Him, and He never changes His mind. He always tells you the truth. He's established it in history. He's established it in His Word. It is a free gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, when you trust Him as your Savior. It's available to everyone, but it's not automatic to everyone. We have to trust Him as our Savior. So first reason we can know is because God gives eternal life to you. The second reason we can know is because God secures eternal life in you. Notice that eternal life is first in Jesus Christ. It's a possession of Jesus Christ. It belongs to Jesus Christ. Because your faith is only as strong as the object of your faith. Your belief is only as strong as the one you believe in. And trusting Christ as your Savior means you trust Him for everything related to your salvation, your forgiveness, and your eternal life. And God says that's exactly what you need to do. Because in Christ, your eternal life is secure. John doesn't just call this eternal life. John literally says it's the life. The one who has the Son, he says, literally has the life. The life that you wanted, the life you were created for, the life you find in relationship with God. Outside of God, you don't have the life. You've got a life, one of your own invention, one of your own design, and one ultimately which you will mess up, but it will not lead you to eternal life. You don't have the life apart from Christ. You have a life. But in Christ, we have the life. The eternal life that God wired us and designed us for, the relationship that God designed us for, we have in Christ. The Apostle Paul himself loved to draw that picture. He said, once you were born again, you were in Christ. So when you're not born again, you're out of Christ. You're not in Him, you're out of Him. But once you're born again, you are in Christ. That's where eternal life is. That's where our salvation is. It's in relationship to Him. There is no waffling here. God designed it to be immovable and unchangeable in any respect. Life is in Christ, in Jesus Christ. It's nowhere else that we find this eternal life but in Christ. And because you trusted Christ as your Savior, that eternal life is secure. He will not let you go. In fact, Jesus Himself once told His disciples, no one can snatch you out of my hand. Once you're in, you stay in. The only question is, are you in? God secures eternal life in you through Christ. John says this is for those who have the life. They have Christ, they have the life. It is a present tense, absolute fact for those who have trusted Christ. Or, as he puts it, for those who believe in Him. That's an important word also. The word translated believe and used by John in this letter refers to confident trust. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, it's the idea that you looked at other options for your eternal life or for your life, and you came to the confident conclusion that trusting Christ was the only way. Not trusting education, not trusting politics, not trusting family members, not trusting money, not trusting education level, or any of those things, not trusting changing jobs. You're not putting your trust in any other way because you came to the confident conclusion that trust in Christ, believing Christ, was the only way to eternal life. John calls it your possession. Did you notice that? Once you trust Christ, that salvation becomes your possession. You're that secure in Christ because you trusted the only one who has eternal life to give to you, John says. So you could know first because God gives it to you. It's not dependent on your actions, your feelings, your behavior. God gives it to you. You can know second because God secures it in you in that relationship with Jesus Christ. God secures your salvation once for all. You are saved. And then third, you can know because God confirms eternal life for you. God confirms eternal life for you. This brings us back to the beginning, so to speak, back to what this series is about. God wants you to know for certain that you have been born again in Christ, and he wants that so much it will show up in your life. As we'll read through this, as we go through this series, and we'll read in the book of 1 John, there are indicators in the life of every believer. We know that's true because they're not done by us, they're supernatural indicators. Jesus brings these into our lives, and they're expressions of our eternal life in Christ. And every believer has these same expressions. I'll give you one example that Christ himself gave us, that we would love one another. That siblings in Christ would love one another and forgive one another because Christ first loved and forgave us. So here's how it works. If you're born again in Christ, the Spirit of God lives in you, and he brings out of you the same traits that Jesus had, and those are indicators that you've been born again in Christ. So you can know. God confirms it for you. God wants you to know for the same reasons we said earlier, to encourage you in Christ or to show you that you're not saved. If these indicators do not show up in your life, you need to pay attention. You need to pay attention. There's something wrong. And if these indicators we're going to look at are not in your life, then there is a problem with your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You might be the most religious person in Brunswick County. It makes no difference if you've never been born again in Christ. Examine your relationship with Christ. God wants to confirm that for you, and he does that in the book of 1 John. There's a writer named Terry Wardle. He's a Christian writer. He tells a story. This is when he was a kid. His mother gave him a blue bicycle. He'd always wanted a bicycle, and they didn't have a whole lot in their family, so it was a cherished treat to get a blue bicycle, even though it was a girl's bicycle. And he was a boy. He didn't care. It had little white saddlebags on it. He didn't care. He had a new Schwinn blue bicycle, and he would ride it all around the neighborhood. And after he got accustomed to it, and was riding it around the neighborhood, one day his mom said, "If you want to, you can leave the neighborhood." Oh, again, what a great cherished treat. Now he was independent. Now he was set free. So one evening he went riding his bike out of the neighborhood, and that coveted moment when he crossed the boundary line and looked back and said, "I'm free." And he rode that bike and he thought, "Now where do I go?" Have you ever had that feeling? Sure, I'm free, but now what do I do? He said, "Well, I'll just go to the next neighborhood." And to get there, he had to cross a bridge to the other side to see friends there. And he starts across the bridge. He said, "This is a piece of cake. Look at me riding my bike." And as he's crossing the bridge, he looks up, and there are four teenagers that have stepped out on the other side of the bridge. And in his mind, as a child, he thinks, "I'm just going to breeze by them and go on." Not so much. When he arrived, the biggest one, the one in the middle, grabbed the handlebars of the bike and spun him around and said, "Where do you think you're going?" And he sort of stammered a bit and he said, "Well, I'm going to go." And they said, "No, you're not. Who do you think you are? You're on our turf riding that bike." And they harassed him for a couple of minutes, and he became more and more frightened and more and more frightened. And one of them chimed up and said, "What is your name?" He said, "My name's Terry Wardle." And the other three that were not holding the bike stepped back one step and looked at each other. And the one holding the bike said, "Are you related to Tom Wardle?" And he writes that Tom Wardle was his much bigger, older cousin that played for the varsity football team in the town that he was going to. And he started to say, "Yes, he's my cousin," but instead he said, "Yes, he's my brother." And he said the three guys, they let go of the handlebars and they fixed the wrinkles in his shirt. And they said, you go ahead. And they called after him as he was driving off. Said they called after him. And if you need any help, you just let us know. If anybody tries to bother you, you just let us know. We're here for you. And he writes it was a profound moment for him when he realized something. It didn't matter so much who you were. It only mattered who you knew. But then it dawned on him also. I lied about it and still got away with it because the guys didn't know the difference. It only matters who you know and who you are in Christ, and God does know the difference. Yeah. So we can lie about it our whole lives. We can pretend to be Christians, pretend to be born again. But God knows the difference. And in our heart of hearts, so do we. This series is all about confirmation, assurance, knowing that you know that you have eternal life. And I hope this morning you can say, yes, I do. Maybe there's another problem in your life. Maybe there's an issue between you and God, but you know that you've trusted Christ and been born again in Christ. But if not, don't wait for the next installment to make that decision. I want to help you trust Christ as your Savior today. In just a moment, we're going to sing together. And as we're singing, I'm going to invite you to come to Christ. It's no magical thing walking down here. It's just how you get here. And when you get here, I want to pray with you, and I want to help you trust Christ as your Savior. Maybe there's another decision you need to make this morning. Maybe you know you're saved, made that profession of faith, but you're wondering, how in the world did I get to where I am now when I'm this far away from the Lord? I want to pray with you about that, or come to the altar and just unburden yourself to the Lord. But in a moment, as we sing together, I want you to take that opportunity to decide again to follow Christ and make sure that you know. Make sure that you know. Heavenly Father, as we are here this morning, maybe there's one, two, three, there could be more, that are starting to realize again, it's coming to light again, God, that they've been religious, but they've never been born again. And Father, we know there are indicators. We know that what matters is that relationship with you. So I pray, God, you'd reveal that to us. And if there's just one that needs Christ as their Savior, Father, how I pray today would be the day they would be born again in Jesus Christ. Others of us need to come to the altar, just unburden ourselves. We need to start over with you. We need to make fresh commitments. Some perhaps need to join fellowship with this church. Some, God, maybe need to follow through in obedience and believer's baptism and tell the world that we're a Christian. God, whatever decision we need to make, whatever you put on our hearts, I pray in this time of response, the Holy Spirit would work in this place. He would show us, God, what decision we need to make, and we would not leave here, God, without knowing. We've nailed it down. We know for certain we've made that decision in Christ, for it's in His name.